Turn it over to the Finance Chair, Mr. Downs, to deal with the Finance Committee. Take the gavel.
I would ask for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I would ask for the approval of the minutes of January the 22nd, 2015, February the 12th, 2015, February 26th, 2015.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for the approval of the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Now that the board has approved the process for taking the fiscal 2016 operating budget and capital improvement plan to the public board's input, our first action item is a request to authorize a compact public hearing on the proposed Metro Rail station at Potomac Yard. Metro has been working closely with the City of Alexandria since 2009 on this project, though its history stretches back several years, perhaps decades. Before that, this hearing is a significant milestone in moving this project forward. We will then hear an update on Metro's financial status in addition to providing information on the continued progress in addressing FDA's financial management oversight findings. Today's update will provide a broader picture of Metro's financial status, including cash flow and credit availability, grant reimbursements and applications, and the fiscal year 14 external audit. Lastly, in response to the board's request, CFO Dennis Anasecki will present staff findings from an evaluation of alternative funding mechanisms for the advancement of WMATA's capital program. The analysis was requested in January of this year as part of the resolution, which gave initial authorization to staff to pursue a debt issuance of up to $440 million to retire short-term debt and will allow the committee to have a discussion on these alternatives. I'll now turn the floor over to Mr. Thomas, who will take us through the item on Potomac Yard. John?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Member, pleasure to be here today to talk to you about the Potomac Yard Station project and to hopefully obtain board approval to conduct a compact public hearing. The City of Alexandria and Metro have been working for quite a while now to prepare a draft environmental impact statement for the Potomac Yard Station. That document is currently under review by the Federal Transit Administration and the National Park Service, the latter federal agency involved because of potential impacts to National Park Service property. Based upon a conference call we had with those two agencies this morning, we're feeling pretty good about being able to get their approval to release the document for the public review by the end of the month. The document you received in the board mail-out is a distillation of the DEIS. The WMATA Compact requires that we have a public hearing to add the station for consideration to be added to the adopted regional system. So we're seeking approval for the public hearing. The next slide shows the project alternatives that have been considered in the DEIS that will be taken to the public hearing to solicit comment from the public and then federal and local agencies. And the last slide is a recommendation that the board approve us conducting a public hearing for the Potomac Yard Station project.
Mr. Chair.
Mayor?
Yeah, thank you very much. And I would offer a motion that we approve the recommendation coming from staff to go to the board for a March 26 meeting for approval to have a formal public hearing process. As you've already heard, this is a project that's long overdue. It actually commenced, I've been on the board since 2000, and I recall when I first got on the board, we were pushing to shut down the Royal Street bus garage, and that took a while, and finally, you know, after about 10 years. We were able to move forward on that successfully. Albeit the process here with the Potomac Yard proposed Metro Rail Station, again, in earnest, started just slightly before 2009. We're here today simply because this project is extremely important to the city. As you've already heard, it's the participants of the city, WMATA, Federal Transit Administration, National Park Service, and I always remind folks that the citizens and community are part of that process as well, and we've had a citizens work group underway for many, many years working in a collaborative way with all of the parties on this project. Things take a while because of this five different entities that have to have a role to play, and then you get through the bureaucratic process with perhaps the federal agencies. But nonetheless, the day of reckoning is now here. I've had conversations with both NPS and FTA about 10 days ago to encourage their approvals of the process by the end of this month, and they've given us their commitment. WMATA, obviously today, this is a big step in an action for us as well to move this forward. This is all done with the intent that the city council would like to give approval to this process, a project rather, and if not by the end of April 2015, we have a target date of May 12th. And so that's the timetable, and certainly, again, this is not only important to us as a city in terms of the economic vitality that this metro station will bring to Potomac Yard, but it's an economic win for the entire region. Potomac Yard is already underway in terms of development. It's mixed-use development, and without a metro station, a little more than half of the development will occur. With the metro station, 7.4 million square feet of development, $4+ billion dollars invested in this. And so, again, it is important to the entire region, and I would encourage my colleagues to support this accordingly.
I second the motion.
Discussion. Mr. Bulger?
Mr. Mayor, thank you for filling us in. And is this going to be like a fill-in station like NOMA? I mean, who's going to pay for the station?
The station is being paid for not even by the taxpayers of the city of Alexandria. It's not, there are no general fund dollars being employed. The residences, the homeowners that live adjacent to the station will be accessed, through the tax district. The developers will be paying for the bulk of it, and then we're seeking funding from one of our transit agencies, the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. The city is asking for about $70 million from them. We just recently benefited from a $50 million loan from the state Commonwealth Transportation Board. And so those are the various sources, pools of funds that will be utilized.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
One step.
Yeah.
Next, we have a financial status update and FMO progress report. Dennis?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, members of the committee. Our objective for this report today is to provide you the monthly progress status on Metro's committee corrective action plan items in response to the Federal Transit Administration's management oversight review report. And this month's report includes progress through the end of February. Also, this report will start this month with a brief financial update with respect to cash management, grants management, our year-end financial audit report, and the current fiscal year, our status for our current fiscal year operating expenses. As you know, WMATA has credit lines with three banks totaling $302.5 million to support capital cash flow requirements. One piece of that, a $75 million credit line with Wells Fargo Bank that was due to expire on March 31st, has already been renewed in late February. We have sufficient cash balances on hand, and we continue to make timely payments to our vendors and contractors. And currently our credit ratings appear stable. Regarding our manual grant reimbursements, we've drawn a total of $142 million since the manual draw requirement was imposed by the FTA last March of 2014. Of that total, we've drawn $72 million in reimbursement since January 1st of this year. WMATA is now up to date on all available federal formula and PREA grant applications through federal fiscal year 2014. One FDA formula grant application with a federal value of $274 million was awarded by FDA on February 13th. WMATA has now received a total of three grant awards since the beginning of January with a total federal value of $585 million. The federal fiscal year 2014 PREA grant application with a federal value of $148.5 million is currently with the Department of Labor for review and certification. Staff anticipates that this pending grant application will be awarded this month. The award of these additional grants will enable us to increase our federal grant reimbursement drawdowns over the coming months. WMATA's delayed external financial audit for fiscal year 14 is progressing, and staff has been working hard with Metro's external financial auditors to remain on track for report completion in April. And lastly on this update, WMATA operating expenses are favorable to budget for fiscal year-to-date through February. And our full-year projection is that our fiscal year 2015 operating results will cover last fiscal year's fiscal year 14's deficit without requiring additional jurisdictional subsidy. On the financial management oversight dashboard, our composite includes the four quadrants as usual, the status and completion risk of the 65 corrective action plan items by finding level, the FMO-related employee training in three key areas, a chart illustrating the quality and acceptance level of recent drawdown packages, and lastly, a summary of the number of FDA recommendations fulfilled based upon our corrective action plan submissions. This month's FMO dashboard reflects two updated focus areas since our last report in February: the manual draw submission quality area and the progress on completion of fulfilling the FDA recommendations associated with the nine FMO findings. Our CAPS completion status remains unchanged. 62 of 65 CAPS have been submitted to FDA. Two have been requested to be extended to June 30th, 2015, and the third CAPS original commitment due date is also June 30th, 2015. With respect to our manual draw submission package quality, in February we received full reimbursement approval for two draw packages having a total of $6 million. Our cumulative reimbursement success rate, which is the approval rate of the total cumulative dollar amounts of manual draw submissions since imposition of the ECHO draw restriction in late March, has increased from 97% through January to 98% through February. From March through February, $142 million has been drawn down, a total of $147.5 million worth of drawdown packages submitted. The compliance training graph reflects the actual employee participation in FMO-related training courses and was unchanged in February. Our final dashboard quadrant chart reflects the number of corrective action plans submitted against the nine material weakness and significant deficiency findings and the number of FMO report recommendations within those findings that our corrective action plan submissions have been deemed by FDA as having adequately been fulfilled. FMO findings that have been 100% fulfilled are highlighted in green. Based on additional feedback from FDA on our CAP follow-up since the last FMO board update, two more FMO findings recommendations have been deemed by FDA as adequately fulfilled. They are the cash and grants management controls, which is significant deficiency number two, and controls over FDA-funded assets. This now brings the total number of adequately fulfilled FMO recommendations to 32.5 out of 38, and the number of findings with completed recommendations to 7 out of 9. The two remaining findings with recommendations still requiring confirmation of corrective action plans are material weakness on grant budget controls, which is going to be fulfilled with the reconciliation of aged open grants and represents the two extended CAPs to be completed by June 30th. And the access controls over the financial management system, for which we owe four follow-ups due to FTA on March 20th. Our summary timeline recaps the major milestone dates of corrective action plans submitted, follow-up requests received, and follow-up submissions provided, all since the final FMO report was issued in June of last year. Since the last board FMO update, we received a response letter from FDA on February 25th that addressed the follow-up items that we submitted on January 30th, 2015. The FDA's February 25th letter confirmed that WMATA had submitted adequate corrective action plans fully addressing the recommendations cited in two significant deficiency findings, cash and grants management controls, and controls over FDA-funded assets. This letter also confirmed partial fulfillment of some remaining recommendations under significant deficiency finding, access controls over the financial management system, as well as a request for four specific follow-ups involving financial system database access reviews, access permission reviews for the PeopleSoft human resource management application, and proof of updated password settings for the financial system application and the databases supporting both the financial management and the human resources applications. For the remainder of this fiscal year, our newly instituted Office of Internal Compliance will be performing numerous FMO corrective action plan follow-up reviews and control certifications to ensure that our FMO cap commitments remain intact and are being properly adhered to. For our next steps, we remain committed to achieving the progress milestones for the extended FMO cap items. We will provide the FDA with the FMO follow-ups requested regarding access controls over the financial management system that are due March 20th. And we continue to conduct the monthly progress review status meetings with the FDA Region 3 staff. As just mentioned, our internal compliance office will continue conducting their scheduled follow-up reviews and long-term compliance monitoring to help ensure ongoing compliance with the FMO caps and proper adherence to our updated internal controls. Mr. Chairman, that concludes this month's FMO update report, and at this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions from the committee. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions, Mr. Yeah. Downey?
I just want to make sure that I know what I heard and can repeat it. We had a large number of corrective action plans that we put together in response to the FMO. We have supplied 62 of the 65 that we need to. These are not closed out. Those are an agenda that we're working off of, but most of them now have been closed out by virtue of FTA saying, not only do we agree with what you said you were going to do, but we agree with what you've done.
Yes.
Still a few more to be closed out, but then what you're saying is your Office of Compliance will go forward and say, we didn't just create a plan, we are actually living up to it and can be assured that we're doing business in the way that we said we would do business.
That's correct.
Great. That's what we need to keep very clear on.
And we do expect FDA to be coming back to verify and validate the actions we put in place.
And once we're all comfortable that we knew what to do, did it, and continue to do it, we then expect at some future date FDA to put us back on the normal means of reimbursement.
That is our hope and expectation.
But we have no timetable from them on that.
Right.
Although, again, as I've said with others, it is a convenience to be able to automatically draw down. You can do it more frequently and with less work on both our part and FDA's part. But the requirements for drawdown in terms of having good background, invoices, materials, labor, all of the supplementary material would have to be available in any case.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't let, this is not like the ATM machine where if you just had the card, you get money. But we're in a position to have that backup, and then when they allow it, we can use the automatic reimbursement. Now, the other point being, even if we had had automatic reimbursement over the last year, since we didn't have the grants in place, there was nothing to get reimbursed from. But that's also been resolved. So we're past the early stages of what we needed to do. And I really appreciate all the work that is going into getting us there.
Thank you.
Mr. Bulger.
Thanks, Blair. Could you follow up on Chairman's comments? Could you explain what the new Office of Internal Compliance, who heads it up, and what they're going to be doing to get the automatic reimbursement, and what's their future role after we get past this, the FMO requirements that we're doing a good job of checking off?
As you know, we put a lot of well, we updated our procurement policy manual and put some new procedures in place in the procurement area. We instituted our grants management policy for the first time, and we also have a grants management procedures manual now that we've put, that we've created. In both of those areas, which are the key areas really of the FMO, the Internal Compliance Office is going to be, it's headed up by Elizabeth Sullivan, who's joined us just about a month ago or so. Is Liz here? I'm not sure. Okay. There's a staff of four. And they are, she's already kind of hit the ground running by putting together a structure and a schedule of the areas that she's going to be testing for compliance. Initially, it's going to be how well we're adhering to all the procedures and requirements in the grants management manual, as well as in the procurement and also in timekeeping in that area, those areas.
Sure, maybe the next meeting we could all meet, Ms. Sullivan.
Certainly.
Thanks.
Mr. Goldman.
Mr. Fishburne, I want to just ask you a question on one of your charts. I think it's 41 of 60, Financial Update, it's entitled. And I think it's a continuation of the second slide that has that. So you say in the first bullet, $72 million in FTA grant reimbursements have been received since January 1, 2015, and $140 million total. What is the amount of grant reimbursements that are now pending at FTA?
I believe,
if I may, Mr. Goldman,
sure.
As you know, this is a moving target, right? So I recall that when I joined the organization, we had approximately organization-wide about $500 million outstanding. Approximately $500 million outstanding. And as you know, on a weekly basis, Metro continues to support its capital program. And as a part of those ongoing expenses, continue to seek reimbursements from FTA. At this point, as of the end of February, I believe the outstanding amount was about $420 million, approximately. So we are making progress. But as Chairman Downey indicated a little bit earlier, the application and approval of most of those outstanding grants will allow us to actually accelerate both the request and hopefully the reimbursements from FTA.
All right. Now, I'm just trying to understand what that $420 million figure represents. Does that represent actual applications that are now pending before FTA for reimbursement, or is that a number that reflects sort of the total amount of completed projects that and covers both applications before and applications still in the process that haven't been submitted yet?
It is the latter.
That's where I'm coming.
It is the latter. It reflects expenses that Metro could apply reimbursements for, assuming all conditions precedent have been met.
Okay. Then my question is there any applications pending for reimbursement at this time?
We have submitted, as an organization, all of the applications due at this time. The only approval that we're still waiting is the prayer grant, which Glenn mentioned is about $148 million, which we expect. FTA has already reviewed that and forwarded that to Department of Labor, and we are hopeful that that will be approved
so that's
presently.
That's $148 million that should be coming in the coming months?
Correct.
Okay. One more question, then just complete this line. In the financial metrics that the board received, there's a number of $691 million on a line that says total undrawn balance of awarded federal grants. What is that, and why is that different than the $420
million? Okay. So if you recall, he indicated that we had received approval for almost total grants applied to.
That's not one of your charts.
It's not in this chat. But if I can give you context, we have applied for almost $700 million worth of grants. Those were the grants that WMATA was entitled to apply for up through the federal fiscal year of 2014. The number that you're referring to relates to that. To that global number in terms of what we are eligible to apply for. What we're talking about now is Of that $700 million, about $600 million has been approved. The only remaining element is the 148 for prayer, again, which we expect to be approved fairly soon.
Okay.
Mr. Downey?
Yes, just following up on that.
Go ahead.
As I read this, and this comes from what you had sent us as a proposed document to say, how will this board monitor our capital activities, which is something we agreed need to be done. What is the policy we should set with respect to how fast we apply for federal funds, and then how fast we draw them down, and how we're kept aware of what's going on, which we're working with Dennis on, but I think we've got a very good piece of work already in hand, including a time chart that says we'll get quickly to the federal government when they have money for us in terms of grants, we'll apply. We will continue the practice of not anticipating next year's federal grants until they are in place. That's why the federal 15 grants really go to fund our fiscal 16 programs. We always know they've appropriated the money, they're in a position to make the grant. We're going to be in a position to have those grants in place as we start the fiscal year in which we will spend them. I think this is a workable process if we keep to it. If I understood this table, the undrawn balance of awarded grants would include amounts that we could reach reimbursement on, as well as amounts where we haven't done the work yet.
Right. Right.
And that this says how much could we ultimately get out of that grant, but the other key issue is how much could we get now for money we've already spent.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And as we go forward, we'll have very few of those because we will typically have our grant in place before we start the work.
Right.
So there is a basis under federal law to anticipate a grant and exercise pre-award authority, but in the policy statement that Dennis is putting together, that would be used if the circumstances warrant it, but typically grant first, contracts later, if I'm characterizing it correctly.
Yes. Let me just ask one more question to make sure I understand it then. What accounts for the growth of $400 million in the undrawn balance between the end of December and projected at the end of March of this year? Are those just additional grants that have been applied for?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And the ones we're just about to receive, much of which will be for future reimbursements, not for retroactive reimbursements.
Thank you.
But at least now we know where we are. A big step forward.
Any other questions of Mr. Fishburne? Hearing none, we could move to the next item, which is the evaluation of alternative funding mechanisms. Dennis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last January, the board gave initial authorization for staff to explore debt issuance of up to $440 million and to report back to the board in March. As part of that resolution, staff was directed to evaluate alternative funding options, including potential reductions or deferral of capital projects in order to reduce Metro's financing needs. We're here today to discuss what actions and activities have transpired so far and the conclusions that have been developed in conjunction with the jurisdictions regarding a funding strategy. So, to implement the board directive, staff and Metro's financial advisor organized several conversations on Metro's capital structure and cash flow with the jurisdictional staff. As directed by that resolution, we also sought jurisdictional recommendations on reductions to the capital program, and then undertook an internal reassessment of Metro's capital program capacity, as well as liquidity requirements consistent with our historical expenditure levels, as Chairman Downey mentioned a little bit earlier. Finally, this committee is aware that Metro recently received an extension of one of its lines of credit, as Blair just spoke to, and the agency has applied and received approval for almost $600 million of federal grants, which will allow Metro to seek federal grant reimbursements that much sooner. Combined, these factors are expected to reduce Metro's near-term funding needs, which will then impact both the size as well as the duration of the proposed financing. Therefore, we intend to ask Metro's financial advisor to evaluate financing strategies in line with Metro's current financial outlook and market, as well as market conditions. So just as an illustration, a grant anticipation notes structure with a par value of $220 million could allow Metro to meet its near-term funding expectations and at the same time reduce our outstanding lines of credit, while minimizing, if you will, the impact on the jurisdictions. So in terms of the structure, we anticipate a short or at most a medium-term grant anticipation note with a maturity of 1 to 5 years, which could serve as an alternative to a long-term financing for our capital program. And given current market conditions, this credit will be backed, we expect, at least with federal grant anticipation reimbursement and a pledge of gross, WMATA's gross revenues if necessary. I would like to point out at this point that Metro will still retain some lines of credit to help normalize cash flow expectations going forward. So regarding next steps, staff will continue to focus on the agency's financial audit while working with the financial advisor to develop preliminary credit structures. And at the appropriate time, staff will come back to the board as required by the resolution that this board approved with near final documents for board review and consideration. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks, and I'll be glad to respond to any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Mr. Arasaki, the total amount of outstanding short-term indebtedness is around $500 million.
Correct.
And so this would add a new another $220 million. I assume that's what I'm getting to. I assume you don't want to keep $720 million of short-term indebtedness, that you have some plan to reduce the total amount of short-term indebtedness in the near term. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what is that plan?
The plan is to evaluate, based on the extension of the current line of credit, what the near-term cash flow needs are, and then make decisions with respect to reducing the current lines. As you know, we are obligated to pay off the $200 million loan, and we are, at this point, making provisions to do that, consistent with the timeline.
So what would be your time frame for making those pay downs?
Those pay downs will occur within the next, by October of this year, we expect to have a significant reduction in the current amount of outstanding credits.
So as I understand, we would offset some of the line of credit draw that we have already taken. We'll restore that to the line of credit as undrawn.
That's correct.
The key here being the federal reimbursements that we just talked about. That's the fuel for this engine.
That's correct.
And with that, we will not increase our debt load by virtue of this. We'd stabilize it. We'd have something that was in place for 1 to 5 years as opposed to the line of credit conditions.
That's correct.
But it's not additional borrowing. It's restructuring as we go through the process of federal reimbursement to get us back to where we should be on the capital side.
And to do it in a way that's more, frankly, capital efficient.
Yes.
And with less impact to the jurisdictions.
Right. And as we said earlier, none of this has to do with keeping the operating budget going.
That's correct.
It's all in a matter of establishing better controls over the capital work that's been going on and the way we paid for it. And by the end of this process, we should be back to regular order, where you get the grant, do the work, get the reimbursement. Jim?
Dennis, if I may, is there a desired short-term debt balance that you would like to have on the books for normal operating procedures?
Yes.
And what would that be?
Well, I, given the size of the budget and given the volatility, if you will, with respect to the cash flow, we need to be in a position to meet short-term, and in that case, I would define it as a 90-day credit structure.
So zero is never an actual goal.
And was never the goal, was never the practice.
And if we were today 100% up to date on our grant reimbursements from FDA, we probably would be in balance.
Yes.
Correct?
You will be in balance, and the lines of credit will be certainly less than where it is today.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of Dennis? This is an information item that's not here for action. As this issue progresses further, it will.
Go ahead. No, the question I had was procedurally. We adopted a resolution earlier this year giving the jurisdictions notice of our intent to do a borrowing. We've now reduced that amount and changed the nature. Do we need to, but it's inside the limits of the earlier one, do we need a new resolution to put them on notice again, or is this just an amendment to what we had offered before?
No additional action is required. It's needed from the board. We have advised the jurisdictions, and the letter that went to the jurisdictions does have a provision for adjustment to the extent that the initial construct has changed. And the jurisdictions have been both part of the conversation and have made very useful recommendations to the process. And what we will be doing in the next few months will be going back to them, advising them of what we're doing, and obviously providing them with the new elements of the proposal.
And in the $440 million long-term debt, which we had talked about, which at some future time may still need to happen as contemplated in the capital program to pay for long-term assets, the jurisdictions are given the opportunity to provide that, if either have us do a debt issue or they would provide. In this case, I assume they still have that opportunity, but it's certainly more likely they'd want us to finance it than to advance the money to us.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Hine?
Thanks. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Dennis and his team for the incredible regional work that you have done at our request. I think that we are in a place where everybody understands. And I think that's really useful. I also want to commend you for pulling PFM into the conversation, too. I know that for my jurisdiction, their participation in this adds a level of outside oversight that is much appreciated. And so I know this has been a tremendous amount of work, and so I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other comments? Hearing none, that concludes the agenda of the Finance Committee meeting.